Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John Jastrzemski. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hour number three. It's 9:03 here on this Thursday evening. It's JJ After Dark. It's John Jastrzemski. We are keeping you company right here on the Fan. Get aboard 877-337-6666. And it looks like the New York Knickerbockers are not going to be a part of this new proposal in Orlando, Florida. No shame in that. Knicks shouldn't be extending their season. Nobody needs to see that. But now they can get down to the dirty work of who their next head coach is going to be. So, to give us some insight, a good friend of mine, one of the best, he's always moving and shaking every which way, Ian Begley of SNY, he joins us. Ian, what's happening, brother?
JJ, how are you, man?
Ian, I'm hanging in, man. I think we're all trying to do the same. So, I guess let's start here on a little bit of a lighter note. How have you been trying to stay sane these last few months when, you know, the world completely changed with the NBA shutting down?
You know what? Chasing after my kids, man.
It's that helps, been, right? Good distraction. There you go, man.
That's been it. It's been trying to work the phones in between making bottles and putting people to bed and down for naps. And it's been chaotic, but everybody's healthy. That's all you can ask for.
Amen to that, my friend. Now, before we get to the NBA and before we get to this head coaching search, the Dolan Knicks statement after the tragedy and the murder in Minnesota last week and the backlash and the criticism that Dolan got for that statement, Ian, you specifically, did you have a problem with that or no?
Well, on one hand, I will say that these statements from teams, corporations, whatever it may be, they're pretty meaningless unless there is action that follows these statements, whether it's a monetary donation, some kind of pledge, whether it's action. So I say that on one hand. On the other hand, if 28 NBA teams are going to say something and they're going to mostly hit the right note in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, and the Knicks are one or two teams along with the San Antonio Spurs who did not put out an official statement, although San Antonio did put something in on there on their team Twitter recently. It feeds the narrative of the Knicks and the negativity surrounding the Knicks off the court. Now, you could say it doesn't really matter, but the one thing that I would say to that is I just think it's players, you know, players who may consider coming to New York in free agency, they might see that and that might turn them off, and that's the risk you run to me from an on-court perspective. Because, you know, there are so many reasons for players to be turned off by what happens off the court with this team. And that just could be another thing that you put on that list. And it just seems like an unnecessary reason to put out there to turn a potential free agent off.
All right, Ian, now let's get to the task at hand. When it comes to the next head coach of this team, I have been trying to make the case for Tom Thibodeau over the last couple of weeks. To me, he is a grinder. He knows New York inside and out. He has developed young players in Chicago, and he has won. I mean, he's 100-plus games over 500 as an NBA head coach. I get the bad taste that you'd have from his experience with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but who exactly has won in Minnesota over the last 20, 30, 40 years of being an NBA head coach. I tell you right now, Tom Thibodeau is the next head coach of the New York Knicks. Do you think that's a good hire?
I do. I think the problem with the Knicks for so long has been there's been acrimony between whether it's coach and the GM and the team president, the president and the coach, ownership and everybody on down. It's been so often where people are not rowing in the same direction. You bring in Tom Thibodeau, that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case because he has a close relationship with Leon Rose. Is that a reason to hire Tom Thibodeau as the next head coach? No, of course not. But, JJ, you mentioned it. He has his faults, but he has a track record of success in this league. We know he can coach defense at an elite level. The question, if you bring in a Tom Thibodeau, is who's going to be on the bench with him to implement the offense? Is he going to be the one implementing the offense? You know, I think you talk to people around the league, they use the term lack of creativity on the offensive end with Tom Thibodeau. So that's going to be one question, but you're not going to question the defense. If guys buy into his defensive system, the Knicks will defend and defend well, something you couldn't say about this team for most of the last 20 years. So I think you shouldn't have a problem with the hire if that's the way they go.
Okay, then you get to Kenny Atkinson. Obviously knows the area well. Has ties to the organization. I thought got a raw deal from the Brooklyn Nets in the decision in which they decided to make. Do you have a preference, Ian? Tom Thibodeau, Kenny Atkinson, like comparing one to another? I think they're both sound choices. I prefer Tibbs. You in the same boat?
You know, just talking from a neutral perspective, right? I don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. The thing that I would say about Kenny Atkinson and why he'd be a good fit here is because you look at this roster that is filled with young players. The Knicks also have two first-round picks in this upcoming draft and early second-round pick. So this roster is going to be young. We talked about Tom Thibodeau and the success stories he's had with a player from a player development perspective. But Kenny Atkinson certainly done that in Brooklyn, and he did really well with that Net team. So talk about the young Knicks and putting them in the best position to reach their potential. That's the story you're selling if you're Kenny Atkinson's group. So it's really difficult to put one over the other. I think that both have their pluses and the strengths that they bring to the table. The one thing that you say about Thibodeau is he's done it in the playoffs. He took those Bulls teams to new heights that nobody really expected them. Nobody around the league expected them to reach. So you give that edge to Thibodeau there, I think. And when you're talking about where the Knicks want to be, ultimately that's where they want to be.
We got our buddy Ian Begley, does an outstanding job covering the NBA, covering the Knicks and the Nets over at SNY. All right, Ian, you brought up a very interesting name in something you put out earlier in the day. And I want to throw this out there and make it perfectly clear to you and anybody who's listening. I actually think Mike Woodson is hands down the second best coach since the year 2000 the Knicks have had. Like, to me, it's Jeff Van Gundy 1, it's Mike Woodson 2. He won 54 games. I thought he did a really good job with that Carmelo group. And I like him personally. I think he's a real good guy, easy guy to root for. That all being said, Ian, to me, a program that is trying to turn over a new leaf, a program that is trying to preach change, and it's not going to be business as usual. It's not going to be same old at Madison Square Garden. I like Mike Woodson. I think he's a fine head coach, but I think trying to sell that is going to be a real tough sell for the Knicks fans. So your take on the idea if they go down a Woody reunion path, you think that makes sense?
The one thing I would say about Mike Woodson, and you nailed it, JJ, he has won here. And no one else can say that. None of the other 10-plus head coaches can say that, you know, since Jeff Van Gundy. He's done it. He knows how to navigate the market. He still has good relationships in the organization. And you can't take that away from him. And so I get what you're saying with regards to, you know, it'd be hard to sell to the Knicks fan base the idea that you're bringing in somebody who was already here. And you know, there's so many ill feelings about the past with this organization. But Mike Woodson wasn't a part of that, anything negative off the court. He won you games. He got the best out of Carmelo Anthony. He was actually ahead of the curve in having that Knick team in 2012-2013 shoot a ton of threes. That was really before the three-point barrage swept the league. So I think, you know, Mike brought a lot of positives as a head coach to this team when he was here. And I think that's why you don't totally dismiss the idea of him getting this job. I think everybody's assuming Tom Thibodeau is the front runner. I've heard similar things. I haven't heard anything that would lead me to believe otherwise. But things can change once you get into the interview process. If you're asking me to bet tonight, I'm betting that Tom Thibodeau is the next head coach. But, you know, things can go sideways during negotiations. So I think that's why you don't discount the idea of Ed Atkinson or Mike Woodson ending up with the job.
And the four names you threw out today, Thibodeau, Atkinson, Miller, and Woodson, I got to be fair, Ian, I'd rank Woodson second on that list. I really would. I'm a big Mike Woodson fan. I just would prefer the toughness, the swagger, the winning that Tom Thibodeau could bring to the Knicks. Like, out of any of those candidates, the only one that might rival Thibodeau for me is Jeff Van Gundy. And, Ian, I get the sense there's no way in the world Jeff Van Gundy's coaching the Knicks next year.
You know what? I will say this about Van Gundy. The one thing that I know from people I spoke with is that he would have been strongly interested in the job last time around when it was open, when the Knicks hired David Fizdale. The Knicks decided not to talk to Van Gundy at the time. I know Leon Rose and Van Gundy have a relationship, so, you know, I wouldn't be stunned if there was a conversation had about Jeff coming on as head coach, or maybe even coming on somebody's staff here. I just wouldn't rule that out at this point. And the other thing, speaking of not ruling things out, you talk about relationships that Leon Rose has. He's got a close relationship with John Calipari, and I don't think John Calipari would leave Kentucky to come to the Knicks. But until there's an announcement and until something is official, I'm just not going to rule Calipari out as a possibility to come up here, or at least for a conversation to be had between Rose and Calipari about the possibility of coming up here to coach the Knicks.
All right, Ian, let's get to what a potential restart is going to look like in the NBA. First things first, did you like the overall plan that was unveiled by the league?
The thing that I liked about it, JJ, is they pushed the start date back to July 31st. And I like that because it gives players a chance to get back into playing 5-on-5, scrimmaging, getting back into top conditioning. And that allows you to avoid the potential, shouldn't say avoid, to make the chances less that these guys are getting hurt. And, you know, if you rushed it, if you tried to get guys back on the court early July, you make them more susceptible to injury. That's the last thing anybody would want to see. So I think the NBA did a good job in pushing it back. I know that impacts the draft and free agency and then the next season and then the following season. So it wasn't easy to do, but I thought the league did a good job in getting the calendar right on this thing.
And as far as, like, the playing element of it, let's be fair, Ian. I don't think there's a team in the play-in that's going to be able to make serious noise, but I could tell you this. We are all searching for sports. We are all thirsty for some action. You tell me I could get Zion Williamson and Ja Morant maybe playing some games to kind of set the stage for the NBA? There's no wrong with that.
Wouldn't that be fun? And then the interesting thing, JJ, is these younger teams, like you mentioned, the Grizzlies, obviously the Pelicans have some young guys, some young talent. I think these teams are going to have an advantage early on in these playing games when you talk about them versus maybe a team with more veterans, because I think these guys are going to be able to get back into conditioning, back into game shape more quickly than these veteran teams. So I think early on you might see some upsets, and maybe that even extends into the early on in these NBA playoffs and this unprecedented restart and the formatting. I just think these young teams, maybe they have an advantage early on before the veterans really start to get their legs under them.
Well, you mentioned the idea that, okay, we're playing in late July. That means Kevin Durant's got more and more time to get his body right. So I've been of the mindset, Ian, I've said it for a long time, don't bring him back. What's the point? What are you going to accomplish? But I'm kind of changing my tune on this, and I'm going to tell you why. It's over a year now from his surgery. Now, if he doesn't get a clean bill of health, there's nothing to discuss. But I think in building that chemistry with Kyrie Irving, building that chemistry with his net teammates, playing a couple of minutes and getting his body back in basketball shape, I now look at a late July, early August NBA timetable, and I actually think it makes some form of sense to see Kevin Durant out there. Gut feel at this point. Are we going to see Kevin Durant suiting up and playing games for Brooklyn?
My gut says no, but I think part of it depends on, you know, how much five-on-five full court scrimmaging can he do leading up to that training camp setting? How much can he do before then? Because if he's doing that for the first time in the training camp settings and then you're kind of rushing him back to get on the court in late July, you know, I'm not a trainer, but I would just assume that would be too quick of a timetable and too much of a risk for a player that the Nets have a huge investment in. And obviously Kevin Durant wouldn't want to rush his way back either. But I think if you can kind of jumpstart that 5-on-5 before you get into that training camp setting, I think there's a better chance of him returning. But I think he and the Nets are going to be very cautious, you know, because for them, it's really all about next year. Obviously, you get Kyrie back, you get Kevin Durant back, we assume hire a coach because we assume you don't bring Jacques Vaughn back on a full-time basis, and then you get rolling into that short window if you're the Brooklyn Nets. So it's not as much about this year, although there would be significant benefits for Durant getting back on the court over the summer in Disney World.
Ian, final one. Two-fold question. Would you like to see permanently in the NBA a 1-16 playoff format? It's something I've been screaming about for a long, long time. You got first-class amenities, travel, and I think it gives you a better NBA final. And second of all, I tell you the NBA season now starts Christmas Day and goes into July and August. You take on that. So I'm giving you two questions here, rapid fire to end it. You're an NBA guy, so I figure we get your take on this. Later start to the year, 1-16, the floor is yours.
1-16, I would love. I really would. I think what the league would say, though, is there's too many travel logistical issues to sort through to really make it happen in a way that makes sense for everybody. But just strictly from a competitive standpoint, I think it would be fantastic. You would get the best finals matchup regardless of conference. And that gives you the best basketball on the biggest stage for the NBA, and that's what everybody wants. I think they would say that there's too many hurdles to get past to get there in a perfect world. You know, I'm signing up for it every time. So I'll say that about the format. Now, as far as the schedule goes, just selfishly, bro, I'll be honest. I really like having that August, early September.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Ian, you know what? You're not, and this is why it's probably not going to happen. You, and think about all the NBA players and what they like to do during the summertime. That's going to be, I think, a tough sell for the Players Association.
I agree. I think a lot of those guys like their summers. They like to be able to relax, take some time for themselves during that portion of the calendar. And if you flip it and you stick with what we're going to see next season, 2020-2021, then you have the time off in the fall, you know. Sure, I guess it's okay. I personally like the summer better. But from a business standpoint, it makes a lot of sense for the NBA to start later in the calendar year because then you're not up against football. You know, for less of your schedule, I should say, is up against the juggernaut that is the NFL. So then you get more eyeballs on these games earlier on, and that brings in more revenue. Business perspective, it makes all the sense in the world. Selfishly, JJ, for me, I would like to stick with what we've had in the past.
Ian, I can't blame you, man. The summertime being off is nice. Trust me, I don't know a thing or two about it, but the beach, you're running around, chasing your little one around. I'm sure you'd rather do that outside than inside. So listen, my friend, I appreciate a couple of minutes. I'm glad you and the family are safe. Don't be a stranger. Who knows how you'll be covering this when it gets going back in late July. Because, listen, media and this and that, I mean, it's just a different world. But we have basketball back, so there's something to be said for that. Stay safe, right, Ian?
Appreciate it, JJ. Great to be with you.
Great stuff there. The great Ian Begley over at SNY. We got a lot more to do, and he's sharing a brand with me. Tom Thibodeau, next Knick coach. I don't like it. I love it. Get aboard 877-337-6666. It's DJ After Dark. We're right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.